Tavshin Pei Aleph. They say Tavshin Pei Aleph, it's going to be a year of Pei Aleph. Erenu Plaos. Wondrous things are going to happen in the world this year. All right, so here's something wondrous. We're learning Torah's Baal Shem Tov, even though none of us grew up Chassidish. In a revealed sense, Ashi. In a revealed sense. Okay, good. So, Chavros, we're up to number 5. Ami, you always have your... But what do Gerzi say? That's not the real Baal Shem Tov. Okay, fine, not now. Fine.
Should we get rid of it?
It's all good. Okay, so off to number 5. Let's see. Ha'adam, we have a lot to do tonight. Let's see. Ha'adam tzarech lizdabig ba'asher hu omer, ki b'chol ha'olamos yesh neshama ve'elukus, u'kesha ha'adam mizdabig imam nidbak ve'elukus. Alright, it took me a while to even begin to figure out what Baal Shem Tov was talking about here. A person needs to attach himself, lizdabig. Person needs to be in a state of dveikus ba'asher hu omer, with what he says. Ki b'chol ha'olamus yis neshama ve'alukus, because in all of the worlds there is soulfulness and there is divinity, there is godliness. U'kesha adam mizdabek imam nidbak ba'alukus. So what does that mean? I mean, we already learned that einol movado, and we learned that when you do averos, Hashem is still with you, and we learned that your yitzhara is on your team. We learned so many ideas that seem to already encapsulate this idea. So what does it mean? You have to be mizdabik basher hu omer, to connect to what you're saying. It's really a sadistic idea. Connect to what you're saying. Rabbi Shaul Salanter used to say that even though the Gemara says that Hashem never likes a person who's echad bepev echad belev, who speaks one way and feels differently, but in the context of tefillah especially, when you're talking to Hashem, we have to at least know what we're talking about. We have to be mindful of the words that are coming out of our mouth and to be connected to the words. Okay, and let's find out why. Let's try to understand what this is talking about. It's a confusing, very short little passage. So let's try to understand. There are a lot of teachings attributed to the Baal Shem Tov. There are less teachings that we are confident were actually written by the Baal Shem Tov. One of the letters, I think they say that there are 3 letters that are for sure from the Ksav Yad of the Baal Shem Tov, but the most famous letter of the Baal Shem Tov is this letter to his brother-in-law, Rav Gershom Kitover, from the year 1746, Rosh Hashanah Tavkov Zayin. And the Baal Shem Tov describes there his famous encounter with Mashiach in source number 1. Then Rosh Hashanah Shnas Tavkov Zayin Asisi Hashba Salias HaNeshama Ki Yodu Alecha. I did some type of oath to allow for some type of out-of-body experience to access the higher realms. And I saw things that I never saw before. Baal Shem Tov tapped into something new that Rosh Hashanah 1746. When did the Baal Shem Tov pass away? What do we usually say? When was the Baal Shem Tov born? Baal Shem Tov was about 50 years old at the time. He passed away in 1760, we usually assume. Okay, so this is 14 years before he passed away. It says, let's say, something like 15 plus years after the Baal Shem Tov was Megal himself to the world. And he had this unbelievable experience, and he's writing to Legiso, to his brother-in-law, Rav Gershom Kitover. Vishalti, and he describes how he went through different olamos, the different chambers, really wild things, unbelievable things. Vishalti as pi Mashiach, and I had an encounter with Mashiach, and I asked Mashiach famously, Amos Asimar, right? When is the Master coming? V'heishiv li b'zois teida, with this you shall know. Be'ez shi'as farsim li mut chavias gala ba'olam ve'yafutsu mayin osecha chutza. When your teachings, when the wellsprings of your teachings start to flow outward. So everyone quotes to this part. Everyone knows this part. Right? Hey, masai osimar, keshe yafutsu mayin osecha chutza. Everyone knows this part of the song. But the next part is the part we're going to focus on tonight. So the Mashiach said, first of all, when the Torah of Pnimius of Chassidus flows outward, that's a very good sign. Everything that Mashiach says, Mashal Lamadati Oschava Sakta, which is interesting. That means the Torah of Mashiach and the Torah of Baal Shem Tov is the same Torah. Right? The Torah that I taught you when you grasped, when it continues to burst forth, that's an indication that you're ready for Mashiach, because the Torah of Baal Shem Tov and the Torah of Mashiach is one and the same. But more than that, and here's the second part that again we often don't focus on in this famous letter. It'll reach a point where everyone where all the people that you're speaking to will be able to make yichudim, unifications, and aliyos, to have aliyos neshama like you. So at this point you say, great, now I was getting all excited that Mashiach's getting closer and closer because more and more people are learning chassidus, but now I don't know too many people who are doing aliyos neshama and are making yichudim. But it could be we don't know what aliyos neshama is, and it could be we don't know what yichudim are. The Shulchan Aruch says that every time we daven Shmona Esrei, it's supposed to be an out-of-body experience. You're supposed to be able to achieve hispashtus hagashmi, to leave your guf behind, and to let your neshama soar every time you daven. Now, I imagine most of us probably don't feel that that happens to us all that often. Maybe for a moment, by ne'ilah or whatever. But if it's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, that means it's shayach, and it's shava l'chol nefesh. It means it's accessible. If it's something in Kisvei Ari, so it's not for, it may not be for everyone. But if it's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, that it's shayach to have ispashtos hagashmi, to have an out-of-body experience, if that's a halacha, then that's something that's shayach to Klal Yisrael. So it is possible for us to achieve these levels. Again, maybe we need to work a little harder on our davening. What are yichudim? What are unifications? It has a very Kabbalistic ring to it. We sometimes get scared. I don't know what that is. Let's keep reading. Let's see. And when that happens, when your Torah spreads outward, and people make yichudim, and people can have aliyas neshama, az yichalu kol haklipos via eis ratzon v'yeshua, then the klipa will be demolished, and it will be a time for salvation. But then the Baal Shem Tov was told a little bit later by Mashiach, the letter continues, I did a little selective editing, I cut out some of the letter, but then Mashiach says to him a bit later, achzos ani modiacha, but I have to let you know, and Hashem should help you, that this should be your reality. And this will help us understand this line, again, from these 10 hadrachos of the Baal Shem Tov. Ki b'chol, be'eis tfilas, when you daven, and when you learn, v'chol dibur v'dibur u'motzi svasecha, every word that comes out of your mouth, tekavein liyachet shem, there should be a unification that takes place. Chevra, there's a lot to talk about here in terms of really, really deep, complicated Kabbalah. But that's not shayach to us. So what does it mean on a simple level? What does it mean that when we learn, when we daven, when we speak, there should be a yichud? It just means on the most simple level, we should be mekusher to the fact that we're speaking. We should realize that there are words coming out of our mouth. That when I'm standing in the middle of Shmona Esrei on a mincha on a Tuesday afternoon, and I forget that I'm like even davening until I remind myself I see a sitter in my hand, right? That's an unbelievable disconnect. And that's very much our world. Right? We're living in a world where people are very disconnected from their words. We don't even know how to talk anymore. We text and we type and we send messages. We don't know how to have conversations anymore. We don't know how to sit with another person without a cell phone in our hand. So that's a terrible tragedy. That's a big klipa that we're fighting on the way to Mashiach, that Mashiach told the Baal Shem Tov himself. Ki b'chol os va'os yesh olamos v'neshamos v'elokos. And that's exactly what these words say over here. That in everything there are olamos, there's neshama, there's elokos. The only way I was able to figure out what this line even means is by finding these words in the letter of the Baal Shem Tov. That in every letter of speech, there are worlds, there are souls, there's divinity, there's godliness. And they're all trying to connect. But it takes our mindfulness, our kavana, our presence to allow those connections to be forged. The connection between you and your words, the connection between your words and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to put all the pieces together. You're sitting and learning Torah. Torah is the Dvar Hashem. You're connecting to God Himself, but to the degree that you're present and connecting to the words. Letters fuse together to make words. Words fuse together to make sentences. And that is the attainment of true unification, of godly unification. When letters connect to letters and words connect to words, and people connect to the power of their own speech. What makes us different than animals? What makes us human? And all the more so, what makes us Jews? So, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating Adam HaRishon, the Pasuk tells us back in Bereishis, Hashem made Adam Afar min HaAdama. We come from the dirt, we just said in the Yom Laram, Adam Yisodo me Afar V'Sofo LaAfar. But that doesn't mean we have to be Afar along the way. In the middle, we get to be something very special. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim v'hi ha'odom l'nefesh chaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into Adam a spirit of life, and man became a nefesh chaya. Uncle is famously translated, v'havas ba'odom l'ruach m'mala. Rashi and Uncle is explain that what makes us human, the fact that we are a Ruach Mamala. Nefesh Chaya means Ruach Mamala, which means a speaking spirit. A speaking spirit. Speech is the thing that sets us apart. Reason, the ability to think, and speech. And Chavar, we have to understand, our life is so much connected to our speech. Not only in the sense that words can build and words can kill, Mavis V'chayim Bi'ara Lashon, like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, it's more than that. It's more than if I speak words of Torah, Kihem Chayenu V'Arachemenu. It's more than the fact that if I speak Lashon Hara, I kill three people according to the Gemara in Erechin. Right? But the fact that think about it, every time you speak, you're blowing back that breath of life that Hashem blew into you. I mean, the shofar is the ultimate, you know, expression of tefillah, of speech. It's speaking without words. It's not trapped in the letters. It's all the letters combined, whatever that means. In Shir HaShirim, the pasuk says, "Nafshi yotza bidabro." The Gemara darshins in Shabbos that this is the source that when we stood at Har Sinai and we heard Hashem speak to us, our souls went flying out of our body. It was such enlivened speech that it blew the life out of us. In other words, it's almost as if Hashem was like recreating us. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And we died and had Tchiyas HaMeisim, the Gemara says in Shabbos. Lo yeh Elokecha Elohim Acherim. We died and had Tchiyas HaMeisim again. So the Gemara darshins this passage in Shir HaShirim, these three words. Nafshi Yotza B'dabro. My soul expired by His word. But Chavar, there's an idea that you heard maybe as kids and you thought maybe it was, you know, it was like an old wives' tale. It's not a real thing. There's no makor for it. So I'm going to show you there is a makor for it. Did you ever hear the idea that a person has a set number of words? That a person has a set number of words in their life, and when they run out of words, they run out of life? You ever hear such an idea? Anyone, by show of hands, anyone ever heard that idea? So in the Rachamei Av, Rav Yaakov Katina, was a Rav in Chust, he left for his children a last will and testament called Rachamei Av. 58 small paragraphs of Hadracha, and in the entry for Dibor, he describes the power of speech. Right? It's an amazing thing. Hadibor yihyeh yakar lachem ma'od. He's writing to his children. And the only reason we have this sefer is because some rebellious great-grandchildren decided to publish it. Because originally it was just for the family, don't print it, don't publish it, but eventually it's out and you can buy it in Sfarim stores now. So he writes here to his children, realize the preciousness of speech. Ve'isa b'medrash, he quotes a medrash, it's a medrash hagadol, she'nigzar al kol adam kam yedaber kol yemei chayav. You only have X number of words. Your life is connected to your dibor. So when the Baal Shem Tov says, be makusher to your own words, realize that in your words are olamos, our neshamos, is elokus. Your connection to Hashem Himself, the breath of life that God blew into you, vayipach papav nishmas chayim, is so much connected to your koach hadibor. Why is Talmud Torah connected kulam? Why is Lashon Hara connected kulam? Why is speech the biggest, you know, bein letov, bein lamutav, for positive or negative? And the answer is because my life is dependent upon it. It's the thing that makes me human. It's the thing that makes me a yid. V'romam tonu mikol aleshonos, as we say in the davening of Yom Noram, and as we say in the davening of the Shlosh Regalim. Hashem, you elevated us mikol aleshonos. That means you gave us the ability to speak in a way that's different. And you have a set number of words, chutz mi limud Torah, except for the words of Torah. If you keep speaking Torah, don't worry, Chavar, you won't run out of words. But your regular words have to be measured. They have to be thought about. Wow. He says that to the degree that a person limits their speech, they'll be able to live longer. And the words that come out of your mouth, you can't take them back. So what does this have to do with this phrase in Shir HaShirim, Nafshi Yotza B'Dabro? If you look in the Derech Pekudecha from the Bnei Yisachar, he writes on Mitzvah Slosa Se Lamed Dalet. He writes, I heard in the name of Rav Menachem Mendel of Rimanov, an amazing thing. He said, I have a tradition. Degam b'dvar ha'adam b'daber ha'adam dvarim b'teilim hu bechlal abazrayu da'azhoras lo tzirtzach. The Torah says, don't kill. So part of don't kill is don't waste your words because it's suicidal. It's literally killing yourself. And he references, he says, this is the kavana of what? Of this pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Nafshi yotza b'dabro. He explains many more ideas al pi chasidus here. What is the connection between the bris mila and the bris halashon? What's the connection between the bris hamaor, the bris of the flesh, and the bris of the tongue? The same way the chazal speak very strongly about a person who misuses the Bris Milah. In a similar fashion, a person who misuses Bris Halashon, he's mamish destroying worlds. Right? The same way that there's a lot of potential when a person is Motzi Zara Levatala. So when a person wastes words, says Rav Menachem Mendel of Rimanov, it's mamish lo sirtzach. You're killing words. Ki kol dibor hu shir koma shlema. Because every word is a whole universe. And therefore, when a person wastes their words, nafshi yatza bedabro. He quotes it over here. V'zeh nafshi yatza bedabro. That my soul aspires with my words. That's the idea of this Medrash HaGadol. That a person has a number of words in this world. So the Baal Shem Tov wants us to be mekusher to our words. Again, on a simple level, a person has to be sensible about how they use their words. Your life is dependent on it. But the Baal Shem Tov wants us to understand that the very words themselves, they're made up of letters, are the building blocks of life itself. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, how did Hashem make the world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu used 22 building blocks. It's his periodic table of elements called the Aleph Beis. Took the letters of the Aleph Beis, Rav Tzaddik says, he writes in his farm, if Hashem wanted to create a shor, an ox, Hashem took a shin, and a vav, and a resh, and he fused together the letters to make an ox. If our eyes could see, we would see nothing other than letters. Everything is made up of letters. And therefore when we speak, which of course is expressing letters, we're tapping into something that is very spiritual, that's very godly. The Koach HaDibur is very, very godly. I'll tell you an amazing story. There was a Chashuv Rav, a Chashuv Posek, who passed away in May. Rav Nachum Rabinovich. Rav Nachum Rabinovich was the Rosh Yeshiva of Birkat Moshe and Maale Adumim. Very, very special Yid. Very Chashuv Rav. And his son spoke at his Levaya. I never met Rabbi Rabinovich, but some of the stories about him that I read are unbelievable. Amazing person. Rabbi Rabinovich was from Canada originally. He spent some time in the community in Charleston, in South Carolina, and then eventually came to Eretz Yisrael. So when he was in South Carolina, his son told the story, he was very involved in creating the Jewish day school there. And he was teaching in the school, and he came to New York one time from South Carolina, and he met one of his rabbinic colleagues, one of his chevra, and he said to him, "Nu, so what are you doing in South Carolina?" So he told them, he said, I'm building the day school there, and I'm teaching them, the basics, Jewish values, teaching them, the building blocks of creation, Aleph Beis. So his friend says to him, he says, "Oy vey." He says, "Oy, the American rabbin is really so pathetic sometimes. No, someone of your caliber could be giving a high-level shir. We showed him sugyas, You're wasting your time, spending your time teaching Aleph Beis." So Rav Nachum said back to him, he said, "Listen." He said, I could give a Gemara shir. Obviously, I can give a Gemara shir. He says, but the truth is, when a person says a shtickel Torah, a machlokas rishonim, you try to answer up a Rambam, you try to defend the Rambam against the attack of a Ravid, you try to answer Bikiva Eger's kasha, right? Maybe you're saying emes, maybe you're not. But when you teach Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalid, Hey, he says, I know for a fact I'm teaching Torah emes. I know that Aleph is Aleph, I know that Beis is Beis. I'm teaching Torah emes, and he says, you might think that you're doing something that's more chasha, but I promise you, when a person teaches Torah emes, they make a revolution. And he did. He made a revolution in terms of the Yiddishkeit in South Carolina. He was very proud of the fact that he was Oseg in the building blocks of creation. So the Gemara in Brachos says that when Bezalel was building the Mishkan, in source number 7, Brachos Nunhei, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, what was the brilliance of Bezalel, Bezalel Kel? Yodeya hay Bezalel Litzarif Osios? Bezalel also knew how to make Yehudim. How to bring together letters. How is the Mishkan built with such physical beauty and also spiritual beauty? And by the way, Chevra, remind yourself that the Mishkan is the tachlis of creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest taiva is to have a dira b'tachtonim. So how is that dira b'tachtonim made? Bezalel knew the secret of the letters. He knew the secret of the osios with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Shemayim v'aretz. The Magid of Mezrich says, Bereishis Bar Elokim. What's the next word? How did Hashem create the world? Bereishis Bar Elokim. Ace, Aleph Taf. S, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world by using Aleph through Taf. By taking the letters of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the world. So when a person speaks, you're building worlds. When words come out of your mouth, you're building things, or you're destroying things. And Bezalel had the understanding, the inner workings of the letters, in order to be able to build a Mishkan, which defied logic. the Mishkan, the measurements of the Mishkan, it didn't make sense. It didn't add up. It was not humanly possible. With all the artistic brilliance and creativity, there were things about it that defied nature. And Bezalel was able to do that because he understood the secret of the letters. Okay. Now, if we really want to understand what the Baal Shem Tov is talking about, this idea that, again, let's just go back now, based on what we learned so far. Let's see if we understand a little better now. Let's go back to the line from the principles. Ha'odam tzarech lizdabik ba'asher omer. A person needs to be mekusher to what he's saying. He needs to have dveikus in what he's saying, right? Again, yichud. The first yichud is just being connected to the words that are coming out of your mouth. Ki b'chol ha'olamos yes neshama ve'elukus. Right? The way that it's written here, again, in the letter of the Baal Shem Tov, that is, b'chol os yesh olamos neshamos in elokus. So I don't know if, you know, maybe again, I'm not going to change the way that it's printed here from the back of the Divrei Shmuel from Slanim, but it could be that this is really what it's quoting. Ki b'chol os was that every letter contains worlds, contains souls, and contains godliness. And therefore, when I cling to my words, when I'm clinging to the breath of life that Hashem blew into me, I'm clinging to Hashem himself. Okay, to really understand, and if you've learned it before, we'll learn it again together, which is always a nice thing, to learn a Betzibor, right? But you have to really learn the opening parak of the Baal HaTani, the Shar Yichud V'Emunah. Because you can't really understand this concept of letters of creation without learning the Shar Yichud V'Emunah. I remember the first time I learned it, I was in Camp Masorah Kolel with my Chavrusa Rafi Light, Shlita, and we spent that summer, we were sitting in the field learning the Shar Yichud V'Emunah. Was the first time I ever learned it. And I just remember when we were in like a camp environment, you're sitting in this beautiful, you know, green, lush, grassy field. And to be able to just like look at the trees and to look at this massive field with all these blades of grass after learning this, it was wild. Everything like was shining. Everything was illuminated. The Baal HaTanya, based on really a teaching of the Baal Shem Tov and the Arizal, literally takes the most simple parts of creation and gives them life. It takes a blade of grass, which is alive, so to speak, but breathes so much more life into it. Okay, so let's learn this. It's an unbelievable piece, and you have to know it. It's really fundamentals of Chassidus 101. V'yadata hayom v'ashevosa el v'avecha ki Hashem v'elokim v'ashamayim ma'al v'la'aretz mitachas ein od. Okay, we all know the pasuk. V'tzarech lahavin, says the Baal HaTanya, did we have a havamina that there were other gods somewhere beneath the ocean or something? That the Torah needs to warn us? Take it to heart that there's no gods at the bottom of the ocean. Just look at the words. Know it well. Das, dveikus. Cling to this idea. Take it to heart in a deep way. That Hashem, who Elokim Hashemayim Va'al, V'la'aretz Mitachas, Einod. There's nothing else. Did we think that there was something below? Did we think that there was another God? So says the Baal HaTanya. The Pasuk tells us, La'olam Hashem Devarcha Nitza B'Shemayim. Forever, Hashem, your words are upheld in the heavens. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh explained, Ki devarcha she'amarta, that Hashem, at the moment that God spoke, Yehi rakia b'so chamayim. What happened? So we think that those words created a rakia. But what's the rakia made out of? You know what the rakia is made out of? It's pretty wild. The rakia is made out of the words, Yehi rakia b'so chamayim. So you'll say, but I never saw that. That's because our eyes are tainted, or we don't have the pure eyes of the tzaddikim. When the Baal HaTanya was at the end of his life, and he was on his deathbed, he was looking up, and he saw a wooden beam running across the ceiling. And he said to either his son or his grandson, who was standing by his side, he said, what do you see? So he said, I see a wooden beam. What do you see? So the Baal HaTanya said, I don't see a wooden beam anymore. All I see are letters. All I see are letters. Right? So they're talking about a tzaddik, a kadosh, at the end of his entire life. He finally, as he was crossing over to the next world, right? He saw like the Matrix. He was able to see that everything was really just made up of letters. Right? But this idea, says the Baal Shem Tov, is the reality of all realities. Bereishis bara Elokim es. The only thing Hashem created was Aleph and Tav. Like Rav Tzadok said, if you had the eyes to see, you wouldn't see an ox walking around. You wouldn't even see a shur walking around, the Hebrew word for ox. You would see Shin Vav Resh, Shin Vav Resh, Shin Vav Resh. You see an ox made up of Shin Vav Resh. The Shulchan would be made out of Shin, Lamed, Ches, and Nun. You would only see letters. An Eitz would be made out of an Ayin and a Tzadi. That's all you'd be able to see, the letters of Hashem that literally sustain all of reality. Tevos va'osios elu hein nitzavos va'omdos la'olam b'socher ki ha'shamayim. The letters themselves are forever standing in their place in the heavens. Umelubashos b'soch kol ha'rakiyam la'olam l'achiyosam. And forever they maintain their place and they give life. Every second it's pumping life. As long as those letters are there, it's as if Hashem is speaking at every moment. And it's through a Kadosh Baruch Hu's dibur that we get to know a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's through a Kadosh Baruch Hu's breath of life that he blew into us, a Nefesh Chaya. But again, the Nefesh Chaya, Uncle has said, is a speaking spirit. So it's not that Hashem blew life into us, he spoke life into us. And therefore, when I speak, right, when I speak, I'm giving forth life. So when a Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke, that speech forever created the heavens. Kedechsev u'dvar Elokeinu yakum la'olam, u'dvarav chayim v'kayamim la'ad. Hashem's words are forever in place. And look at this line. If the letters of creation were, God forbid, for a second to be withdrawn, if Hashem wasn't saying every second, every moment, every second Hashem is saying, there should be a Dovi letter, there should be a Dovi letter, there should be a Yaakov Fuchs, there should be a Yaakov Fuchs. Hashem is every second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechadesh betuvo b'chol yom tamid ma'asa bereishis. Every second Hashem is pumping, pumping, pumping life. That's why your heart is beating every second. That's why you're constantly breathing. You keep breathing in that chelek alokam mimal, that nefesh chaya is constantly being pumped into you. It's unbelievable. Every second, every second. And if for a second it would stop, v'chozor z'lemekoron, hayu kol ha'shamayim ayin ve'efes mamish. If Hashem were to withdraw the letters for a second, everything would disappear. Vayu kolo hayu klal. And it wouldn't crumble in its place. It would be as if it never was. Ukumo kode maimer yihirakia mamish. It would be as if there never was a yihirakia. The world would simply cease to exist and it would be stricken from the record as if it never was. V'chein b'chol habrum shebechol ha'olam vos elyon v'tachtonim. Chevra, this is true for every single thing in creation. If you see a rock on the floor, it's because Hashem is willing that rock into existence at that moment. If you see a blade of grass, if you see a star twinkling in the sky and it looks random, remind yourself, like we say in Ma'ariv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what? Misader asakochavim. It's mamish precise. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And every second Hashem is willing that star, those trillions of stars, into existence. Vafilu eretz helezu. Hagashmas, even in our physical world below, a speck of dirt. Ubechinas dome mamish. And I want to translate the word dome precisely, or the way Lubavitcher would translate it. We often translate dome as inanimate objects, right? A rock is an inanimate object. This table is an inanimate, the chair I'm sitting on is an inanimate object. Lubavitcher didn't like that translation. Lubavitcher said dome comes from the word what? Dome, silent. Right? Called the mamadaka. Vayidom Aaron. Dome means silent. It doesn't mean that it's inanimate because everything is animate. Everything is alive. But it's dome, it's quiet. It can't speak. The rock can't speak for itself. The blade of grass, which is tzomeach, is a little more alive. It also can't speak. The chiddush is that we can speak. Ilu hayu mistalkus mimeno kerega chas v'shalom. So a rock is alive. Hashem is willing it into existence at that moment. If Hashem were to retract those osios from the 10 utterances of creation, from the sheishes he made bereishes, that rock would completely disappear. It would be as if it was before creation itself. And that's what the Arizal explained. Shagam bidome mamish. That even in what we would call an inanimate object, it's such a not fair way to refer to a rock. To refer to something of the mineral world, to refer to a piece of wood, right? It's not inanimate. It's quiet. It's a quiet part of creation, but it's alive. Kamo avanim va'afar umayim. These things are all alive. And when a person sees the world this way, you have so much respect for things, right? You understand the story of with Rav Kook, and you understand the story with the Rebbe Rashab. You understand the story of the tzaddikim telling their children or their talmidim, a Jew doesn't just pluck a leaf off a tree. A Jew doesn't just pluck a blade of grass aimlessly. There's a malach that's connected to that. There's a word of Hashem that's giving life to that at that very moment. We have to treat it with respect. We have to understand its place in creation. So therefore, says the Arizal, that a dome mamish, an even, a rock, afar, mayim, yesh b'chinas nefesh, it has life to it. V'chayas ruchnis, it has spiritual life to it. The hainu b'chinas is lapshus osios hadibor, me'asara ha-ma'amaros, ha-machayos u'mahavos es adomeim, lios yesh me'ayin ve'efes, shalofnei sheshin me'bereishis. That it's also drawing from that first point of creation, the Vayomer Hashem, let there be this, Vayomer Hashem, let there be that. So you'll say, wait a minute. Hashem never said, Vayomer Hashem, let there be an Evan. In fact, the word Evan, that's not a word that we find by the Asara Mamaro. So how does a rock exist? So the Arizal explains, and the Baal Tani goes on to explain, that the 10 utterances of creation are the roots, so to speak, of all the letters. But there's many Tzirufim, and there's many Chilufei Osios, and there's many different ways that the Sefer Yetzirah describes how the letters can be arranged and rearranged. So it's true, Hashem didn't say Evan. But somehow those letters, through the Hishtalshalus of the Olamos, came together to form an Evan, came together to form Afar, came together to form every single thing that we see. It's rooted, it's Chiyas, it's Chayas, is rooted in the Asar Ma'amaros, which are the letters of the Torah itself. Because the letters of Torah at the root are they're too much to create a rock. It's too much life, right? If those letters were to create the rock directly, the rock would literally be walking around and talking. Hashem didn't want that, so it has to be diluted through the olamos, through all sorts of tzirufi osios and gematrios and rearrangements of letters, till it's misgalgil in such a way that it becomes a rock, a domim, a silent rock. But to say that it's not alive, to say that it doesn't have real life inside of it, would be a terrible, terrible mistake. That would be a terrible misunderstanding, again, of the energy that fills all of creation. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu diluted, as it were, again, that energy. Ve'ein koach behem l'kabel ha'chayos, ela al yedei sheyored ha'chayos mishtalshem madrega l'madrega pachusim imena. Various rearrangements, right? Various chilufim, utmuras ha'osios ve'gematrios, until it becomes whatever it becomes in this world of Asiya. Shein cheshbon ha'osios. Asher yucho lissamtsem ulislabish ulishavos mimenu nivra prati. Until it becomes whatever that little thing is. Whatever that thing is, whatever that item is. It has to go through all sorts of transformations to become whatever it is. To become this pen. Right? But this pen, is mamish filled with the letters of Torah. It's filled with the Dvar Hashem. And therefore, a Jew has to be so careful how we use everything, to respect everything, to realize that everything, there are worlds that are dependent on how a person uses something, or touches something, even moves something. They tell a story, the Maggid of Mezrich, I think one time, he stepped out of his room, someone, I don't remember which of his Talmidim was in the room, and he had a snuff box on his desk. And the Talmud wanted to see it, so he picked it up, and he was looking at it, and then he heard his Rebbe coming back down the hall, so he quickly put it back down on the desk. And if I remember the story correctly, the Maggid walks into the room and he says, "What did you do? What did you do when I was gone?" "Nothing." No. You touched something. you messed up the spheros in here. Like you moved something. You touched something." So he says, "Yeah, maybe I picked up the snuff box. But I put it back in the same spot." So he said to him, "He said, if you don't know what you're doing, don't touch. A Jew doesn't touch things for no reason. Muksa, right? By a tzaddik who's." I just realized now, it's a good way to say it. By a tzaddik, right? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is called Shabbos in the Zohar. So on Shabbos, right? On Shabbos, a Jew is more careful what he touches, what he moves. Muksa, we have a halacha of muksa. But if you're a tzaddik, and you're always on the madrig of Shabbos, right? So then everything is a muksa, which means that what? I don't touch anything unless I know exactly what I'm doing. A tzaddik doesn't make a move in this world without intention, without intentionality. Right? Because he understands that everything is filled with the Dvar Hashem. And there are souls that are dependent upon it. And there's godliness that can be accessed through it. And there are olamos that are literally hanging off of everything. So when you go outside tomorrow, I want you to look at a tree. Look at a tree, you know, look at the leaves on a tree, whatever's left of them, you know, rustling in the wind, and try to see the letters. I know our physical eyes can't actually see it. But try to picture the letters and make them colorful. They can be colorful letters. They don't have to be black and white. Let the tree be colorful letters and just try to picture the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing this into creation at this very moment. And try to tap into that a little bit. We come to the final source, the Baal Shem Tov al Torah and Parshas Noach. Baal Shem Tov al Torah and Parshas Noach, a very famous teaching from the Baal Shem. Tzohar tase la teva. Noach is told to make a tzohar for the teva. Rashi brings different opinions from Chazal. Maybe it's a window. Maybe it's some type of glowing gem that he has in his teva. But either way, tsoar is from a lashon of illumination, right? To illuminate the teva. Make some source of light for the teva. But chevra, of course, a teva doesn't only mean a boat. It's not just talking about an ark. It's talking about what? It's talking about the tevos that we're learning about tonight. The words that a person speaks. The letters that emerge from a person's mouth. Like the Baal Shem Tov was told by Mashiach himself, it's not just enough to learn Chassidus, but a person has to be mekusher to the words that he's saying. A person has to realize that there's literally life in every word that you say. Use your koach adibur in a way that it's meant to be used, the way a Jew is supposed to use it. Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, Olav HaShalom Amar, Tzohar Tasel Ateva. What does it mean, Tzohar Tasel Ateva? I think the Rabbi Melech brings this in Noam Elimelech, Parshas Noach. Tzohar Tasel Ateva. Allow every teva, the words that come from your mouth, allow them to be tsohar, allow them to be illuminated. Chevra, you could ask, what does that mean? We all know what it means. We all know when the tefillos are just falling out of our mouth aimlessly, and when we're directing our tefillos towards the Borei Olam. We all know the difference. Ki yesh b'chol os olamos u'neshamos velokos. Once again, that lashon. Because in every letter there are worlds, there are souls, there's divinity, there's godliness. And again, our job is to make sure that we can make those yichudim. Not the yichudim that you find again in the Siddur Hashash. We're not talking about those type of yichudim. We're not rearranging the letters. Just like we're not touching the snuff box on the Magid of Mezrich's desk. Right? But our job is just to, when I'm talking to a friend, when I'm learning with someone, right, to be present with that person. When I'm standing and I'm davening, when I'm saying words of tefillah, so be present with the words that I'm saying. Right, to be connected to the words that I'm saying, to the words that I'm learning. When I say Eilu Metzias Shalom, try to be makashi myself to that, not just as a shas concept, but as a way of touching the Dvar Hashem, mamish. I want to end with a story. An amazing story. It took place in 1987. In Kiev in 1987, the Jews of Kiev, the Russian Ukrainian Jews, were finally able to go to shul for the first time in a long time. Communism was falling in the late 1980s, Soviet Russia was collapsing, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe sent a shliach in 1987, a young Chabadsker, to make Yom Naron for Jews in Kiev, 1987. So they got the word out. It was like a big celebration that they're actually able to do such a thing. And Jews came out, you know, Jews who hadn't davened in decades, who finally felt safe, finally coming back to a house of Torah worship, you know, coming back to a shul. They got everyone together, and there were young people, there were old people. But again, most of these Jews were totally ignorant. They didn't know anything about anything. They didn't know how to daven. So this young Lubavitcher chassid, shliach of the Rebbe, is trying to create kol nidre, you know, trying to make an avirah for them. And he sees, like, there's this awesome excitement to come to shul, but everyone's really bored. They don't know what to do with themselves. They don't know how to daven. They don't know how to read Hebrew. They don't know anything. So finally he says, you know what, I got to do something different. This is not going to be a regular kol nidre experience. It's not going to go. It's not going to be meaningful. So he gets up and he tells a famous story. He says, I want to tell you a famous story about the Baal Shem Tov. He said the Baal Shem Tov was once in a Polish village, and he saw there was a terrible gezeirah, and the Baal Shem Tov got everyone together, and they started to daven. And they were davening, and they were davening, and they were crying, and they were screaming, and everyone was davening. And the Baal Shem Tov saw they couldn't overturn this gezeirah in Shemayim. And there was this one young peasant boy who came, and he wanted to help out, but he didn't know how to daven. But all he knew was the Aleph Beis. So he started, everyone knows this famous mice, so he started saying Aleph Beis. Right? So he said, Hashem, I'm just going to say the letters, and you're going to turn them into words. You're going to turn them into tefillos, and you're going to somehow make this work to help the Jewish community. And the peasant boy stood there and he started saying Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin. And he said, Hashem, you're going to take those letters and rearrange them. And the Baal Shem Tov said afterwards, it was the tefillos of this peasant boy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took and rearranged the letters, made the Yichudim, because it was so sincere, it was from such a deep place, that was able to overturn the Gezerah. So this Lubavitcher Chassid, 1987, in Kiev, is telling this story on the night of Yom HaKadosh by Kol Nidre. And he pauses for a second to let the story, like sink in. He says, all of a sudden, someone screams out from the back of the shul, Aleph! He said, like 1,000 people, it was packed. There was tons of people there. They had all come to shul for the first time. He said, all of a sudden, like everyone lit up, everyone screams, Aleph! Someone goes, Beis! scream out Beis, Gimel, Dal. They go through the whole Aleph Beis, Aleph to Taf, and that's it. And that's it. And then they all left. Then they walked out of Shul. They said, "That's it. We did what we needed to do. We prayed. We came here to pray, and we said Aleph through Taf, and we prayed. Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Aleph through Taf." So the Baal Shem Tov says, well, the more so for those of us who understand, not only that there's such a koach to these letters, but we're able to put them together to say Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Shemayim Es Aretz. To say Elu Mitzias Shalom VeElu Chayav LaHachers, to be able to study Torah in a deeper way, it's such a zchus. But we have to understand again, our life is dependent upon it. Literally, the breath of life that Hashem blew into us is mekusher to every letter that comes out of our mouth. Okay, so we should be davuk to our letters, we should be davuk to our words, and we should be able to help those olamos and those neshamos and all of that godliness to be Makushar to its source, to its supernal source, the neshama that we carry inside of ourselves, and the Torah that we carry inside of ourselves, the godliness we carry inside of ourselves, we should always be reattaching it to the letters of creation. And then Amir Tzashem, just like Bezalel built the Mishkan, that he understood the secret of the letters, will be zocha to see what Mashiach told the Baal Shem Tov, that when you make the Yehudim with the letters, then Mashiach will finally be able to reveal himself, and just like Bezalel built the Mishkan, we'll be able to build the Bayi Shlishi v'mher v'meromeh. Shkoyach Hevra, I wish everyone a good night, a good kvittel, as they say.